Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us today. We are studying the book of Romans together, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at the church in Rome, and one of Paul's masterpieces of all of his writings. We are in Romans chapter 3 once again, bringing you more of a message titled Principles of God's Judgment, Part 6. Let's listen as John picks up where he left off, listing all of the great privileges and blessings that were given to the Jews. Here's our teacher, John Politon.
The adoption of sons. No other nation had that privilege bestowed upon them. The Jew did. Adoption into the family of God. And the glory. What glory is he talking about? He's talking about the Shekinah glory. They were led by a cloud of fire by day, a pillar of fire by night when they established the tabernacle and then the temple. God's Shekinah glory came down. No other people on the earth ever had that before. The Jew was given that blessing. And the covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Noahic covenant, all the promises in Scripture to the nation. Other people got those promises. Someday there's going to be a king ruling on the throne of Israel forever and ever. All those promises, they were only given to one people, the Jew, the giving of the law. All these other pagans doing all these other pagan things. Abraham is carved out, set aside to make a nation, and God himself says, I'm going to give you my truth, and bestows it on them. Talk about being honored and privileged and blessed, and the temple service and the promises. By the way, just to tie in to what we talked about, Brad, temple services, just a thought. Just a side thought. We're years away from getting there, but he's created and he's made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. As surely as a Levitical priest took a blood sacrifice and sprinkled it on the altar, as surely as that was done on the Day of Atonement and was done in accordance with the Word of God and holy and right and a prescription of God, do you realize that every bit of every moment of your life is to be just as holy and is just as significant to Almighty God? Brad read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The priests presented dead sacrifices. Now, since the cross, we present ourselves a living sacrifice. When do you do that? Every breath you take, everything you do right now, everything you do in an hour, everything you wake up and start doing tomorrow morning, if God gives you the grace to wake up, you are to present every bit of it as an offering to God. The Word of God, which is your reasonable service of worship, and to constantly be renewing. Don't be conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, which is a part of what we're doing right now. The renewing of your mind, when we had our prayer time, and I quoted that passage from Revelation 21, and I quoted 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and we read the 2 Corinthians 4 section. All of that's going into your mind, that's going into your soul. It's a word of God. We're asking the Spirit of God to take that and to absolutely transform you and conform you more to Christ in terms of your thinking, because it'll help conform you more to Christ in terms of your action. We hope it'll be a comfort to your soul as you deal with what you're dealing with. But no matter what, we are priests. in a spiritual sense to God, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. So all of these things that the Jew was given that I just read there, they were adopted as God's special people. That's a mark of God's care. It's a mark of God's concern. It's a mark of God's love. It should have been an aid to their spiritual growth. The problem is they got the law and they either ignored it or they buried it with so much human tradition that it got lost. And the whole point got lost. But always, even in the Old Testament times, it was always a matter of the heart. You're always going to circumcise your heart. It's a matter of the heart. You will seek me and find me, God says in the Old Testament, when you seek me with all your heart. The psalmist says, it's not the blood of bulls and goats and so forth. That's even not even the point. Those are types. I want the sacrifices of God, what does he say, is a broken and a contrite heart. That's the sacrifice God says I want. That's the sacrifice that I won't despise. When you come to the Lord's table today, do you have a broken and a contrite heart? We should. Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. And that word know there, it's like when Adam knew Eve and she conceived. It's a word of intimate knowing. Joseph, he had, quote, not known Mary and was going to put her away privately. It's a term of intimacy there. They were indeed an intimate love relationship that God wanted to have with the Jewish people. But the problem is they forgot the second half of the verse. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. High privilege, high responsibility. Matthew 22, a feast is given. The king says, go out and I'm preparing a marriage feast for my son. Now, who's the son? Christ. Who's the king? God the Father. I want you to go out and call all those who are summoned to the feast. Who's that? Israel. And what happens? They reject it. They don't come. Even said, you know, he sends messengers to them. At one point in time, Jesus says to the Jewish leaders, you've slain the prophets. So what does he do? He says, the king gets angry. He says, I will literally destroy their city, 70 AD, Jerusalem. And what does he do? Go out into the highways and byways, and you invite the good and the evil, and have them come. Who's that? That's the church. From our perspective, there's good and evil. From God's perspective, we're all sinners. That's the church. That's the church age, if you will. Well, back in Romans 3, great in every respect. They got all these privileges, but he hits the first one right off the bat. First of all, and friends, it's always first of all. It needs to be first in our worship. It needs to be first in our life. It needs to be first in everything we do. That's why we're Reformed Living Bible Church. What's it say? Great in every respect. First of all, their first privilege, they were entrusted with the oracles of God. And I don't know why. The New American Standard is so good, but every once in a while, it goes off. That's the same word that the King James has to, the oracles of God. I don't know about you, but when I hear oracle, I start thinking of occultic or pagan practices and stuff like that. The word there, logion, simply comes from logos. And basically, what he's saying is they were given the word of God. You can just write scriptures in there. They were given the word of God. But to show you how powerful and important that was, the pagans all around them would go and consult these weird, bizarre oracles looking for wisdom. All these pagan countries, they would look at fish in a tank, and whichever way the fish went, that somehow was a sign to them as to what to do. They would listen to what was called bird talk, believe it or not. They were called augurs, A-U-G-U-R-S. And they would go out and listen to what the birds were chirping, and they supposedly could understand bird talk. And they would come back in, and they would say, here's what we need to do. Now we can start the festivities or do what we need to do because we've listened to the bird talk. By the way, the augur, A-U-G, it's in the heart of the word inaugurate. It's where we get the word inaugurate. We talk about inaugurating a president. Basically, We've heard the birds talk, and now we can start. That's where certainly where it comes from. Some people think that in addition to talking like birds, our leaders think like birds, have bird brains, I'm not sure, but in any event. Another thing, they had augurs, you've heard the word auspices. Auspices, that is basically looking at how birds fly, what direction birds go, and based upon how the birds would fly, they would say, okay, to some Roman leader, you can start the battle now because the birds went this way. And now the words come into our usage when we say we're going to start, this is being conducted under the auspices of whatever, and basically saying the birds have flown a certain way, we can start. Now that sounds crazy, right? Sounds, you say, well, that is weird. Hey, how about palm reading? How about tarot cards? How about rolling dice? How about picking up the newspaper and checking out your daily horoscope? A la the late Nancy Davis Reagan. Let me tell you something. Man has always run into these paganistic things. The Jew was given God's word and shed blood over the centuries to protect the sanctity of that word, this Bible that we hold today. 2,600 times this book says it is the word of God.
The Jews were given the very word of God, the very words of Almighty God, along with being direct witnesses of untold miracles and deliverances. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue a study in the book of Romans and bring you more of a message today titled Principles of God's Judgment, Part 6. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can learn more about John's church. You can download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking on the Sermon tab. And you can order CD copies of John's teaching, too, by clicking the Contact tab and then sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to John as he emphasizes the critical importance of being the recipients of the very Word of God, as the Jews were throughout history. We'll also get to hear John walk his congregation through a beautiful time of remembering our Jesus in the ordinance of communion. Here's John.
Conservative and Reformed Jews don't even believe the Old Testament. And like I said, the Orthodox have buried it with so much ritual and tradition, they've lost the meaning of it. And by the way, same way for people in churches today. Just like the Jew was connected to the right religion in Paul's day, people can be connected to the right religion, so to speak, Christianity in our day. They can be all around it, sitting in church, and yet miss it. Miss it. What advantage is there? You might say, what's the advantage of being in church? Great in every way. You know why? Because you're sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, and we're hoping that the Word of God has its effect in your life if you're a non-believer. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you're a believing wife and you got an unbelieving husband who is pleased to live with you, that's great. He'll be sanctified. He'll be blessed. Some of the blessings of the godly wife will spill over to him. It is very much a blessing to be around the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and the living of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. But they're accusing Paul of speaking against the oracles of God, the promises of God. And as the men come forward now to service communion and the Lord's table, so that we transfer over to this, I want to just get our toe wet in verse 3. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Let me tell you what the argument is here. We're the Jewish people. God has made these promises through Abraham to us. Seed, land, blessing, nation, a king through David's line, Messiah, millennial reign, on and on and on and on and on. What if, and they were being generous, what if some Jews don't believe the Word of God. Quite frankly, most of them didn't believe the Word of God. But what the argument is this: if some Jews don't believe the Word of God, you're saying that God isn't going to do those things? Then you're saying God's a liar. He made a promise that he would do those things. And so you're saying our unbelief nullifies the promises of God. You're attacking God's character. Because what are you saying? If a few people don't believe, and the analogy goes like this, and this is the way Paul is going to answer it ultimately. You say you're going to give me, you promise to give me $1 million. Well, even if I don't believe it, and even if I don't go sign a bunch of contracts in anticipation of getting all this money, and even if I don't move out of my little apartment and go put my down payment on a $500,000 new home because I think you're going to give me the money, even though I don't believe it, that's not on me. You made the promise. So the promise is still good. Paul, you're saying God promised all these things to us, and because we maybe don't believe them, he isn't going to fulfill them. Well, you're making God out to be a liar. That's their argument. That's their objection. That's what Paul is anticipating. And they missed the real point. And the real point is this. I don't want to leave you hanging. The point is this. It's a twofold promise. There's a promise to the Jews as a nation, and there's a promise to the individual Jews as children of God. The promise to the Jews as a nation are still yet to be fulfilled. The promise to the Jews individually through Messiah happened with the birth and ultimate crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jew, just as any Gentile, who's caught up in religious formalism and has not come to know that Messiah from the heart, is lost. But the promise to the Jewish nation among all the nations is absolutely unconditional and going to be fulfilled by Almighty God. If you're a little confused on that, it's okay. That's what next week is all about. But don't be confused on this. It's a question of the heart. The sacrifices of God are a humble and a contrite heart. As I pray that all of us will reflect upon where we are in our walk with the Lord this day, if you've got sin you need to confess, confess it. If you've got things you need to get right with others, then purpose as soon as you get up from this building that you're going to get it right. And let's lay our hearts out before Almighty God. And those of you this hour who suffer and are hurting, I don't know that you do, but I know my fallen flesh. There's times when maybe spiritually speaking you want to shake your fist at God. Why? Why would this happen to my spouse or to me? Guess what? We can never do that. God, when it comes to suffering, took a healthy dose of his own medicine. There's no greater suffering that ever occurred in the history of the world than the Savior's death on a Roman cross, to pay the penalty for your sins. So that whatever hell on earth you're going through right now, you'll never go through an eternal hell in the life to come. You know, before he was crucified, the scriptures say that our Lord at that last Passover, first communion, if you will, said he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And said, "This is my body, which is given for you." You know, an hour, two, three, whatever, not long after that, he's going to be in his knees, all alone. He's dropped some off at a point, went a little further, let Peter, James, and John pray at a point. Then he went on alone, knelt down, and he literally cries out in prayer, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Some of you, Maybe praying that prayer right now. What's the next thing he prayed? Oh, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Praying that you all get healed. Ultimately, we're all going to get healed with that ultimate healing when the Lord calls us home. But until then, we're told to keep in mind an eternal perspective by remembering what God in the person of Christ did for us and promises us. Let's remember the body, the life, the death, the burial, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible all the time talks about cups. Cup of God's wrath, cup of God's blessing. 23rd Psalm, my cup overflows, meaning the cup of my life. Jesus in that agony in the garden was talking about a cup of wrath. The wrath of a righteous, just God being poured out on the sins of the world that he himself was going to bear. He says, this is a cup of a new and an everlasting covenant, a promise that I'm making with you. A covenant I seal with my very own blood, and I want you regularly to go through this dinner ritual and remember me. Remember what I did. And, as we've just said in the Word of God, remember the promise. And one key promise, what's that? I'm not going to drink this with you again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. You know what that tells me? Believer in Christ, no matter what hell on earth you're going through, no matter what suffering we've had in the past, no matter what suffering we have now, and no matter what suffering should the Lord tarry, we live long enough, we're all going to endure going forward. God preserves, protects, sustains his children. He shed his own blood to confirm that. He says, when you do this, make sure, suffering believer, you remember that. Let's remember the blood of Christ.
What a privilege to walk through the ordinance of communion with John and his congregation, celebrating the new covenant that we have as Christians in the precious body and blood of Christ. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon and a message titled Principles of God's Judgment, Part 6, as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We hope that John's teaching is ministering to you. And we invite you to consider supporting John's radio ministry with a secure tax-deductible gift of any amount. And that will help us to keep John's teaching on the air as a witness to this generation. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and respond to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living with your letter to John. Here's his mailing address. Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. And now here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.